Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, introducing the soft sounds of We Heart Music Radio. Brought to you by the cool cats at WeHeartMusic.com.
Hi, it's John with We Heart Music Radio. We're on site at the River Center in St. Paul, Minnesota for Fan Fusion. We're talking with Danielle Pennebaker. She's best known probably more recently as Caitlin Snow on the CW's Flash series. Danielle, thanks for being here. We are a music and pop culture website, so I have to ask a music-related question. Is there a kind of music or a particular artist that kind of really gets you fired up, whether it be for workouts or for, just getting ready for a scene?
I think it's a little bit of everything. I do have playlists that I use, you know, in particular if I'm going to do a sad scene, like something that I want to listen to that gets me a little bit more emotional. But I listen to everything. I listen to pop music. I listen to, older stuff, Beach Boys, things like that. I've been into in a summer mood, so I've been listening to Beach Boys and things like that lately.
Cool. Is it mostly online, like on Spotify, or do you have a collection at home?
I don't know how to use Spotify. I sometimes use Amazon Music, but I just have playlists from my Apple iTunes.
That's kind of old school. We love that. It's like the new version of mixtapes, right?
It's crazy to think that's old school.
That's wonderful. Thanks for your time. I appreciate it. On the wind that lifts her perfume through the air, I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. Good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. Good vibrations. We're talking with artist Gordon Purcell. Gordon, you probably know from the Star Trek work that he did in the 90s. He's done a lot of other work for Marvel, DC, and other company Image, a lot of work for a character called Flair. Gordon, since we're a music pop culture site, wondering about music during your creative process. Do you have music playing sometimes, and what kind of music would that be?
Yeah, sometimes I do. I have old favorite albums and stuff. It's creative to me sometimes. So I do the iTunes that I have. But I also listen to things like just albums of Bruce Springsteen or U2 or something like that. I have a lot of things like that.
Is there a particular artist or album that you might gravitate to or put on when you're drawing a particular kind of book?
Yeah, sometimes. I listened to The River a lot during just one period. A lot of guys I know will listen to soundtracks from movies, when they're drawing, because that's very dramatic to them. I don't do that as much, but I have. I feel it kind of releases you a little bit, and it's easier than watching TV or something like that to draw. But it's usually for penciling. I pencil and ink. An artist puts pencils down and then goes over that with ink. Inking, I can watch TV. But pencils, sometimes I listen to music. It's just a little bit more relaxing.
So that's good, because it could be perceived as a distraction in some cases, and things that take more concentration, maybe you don't need that as much.
I don't listen to all the lyrics when I'm drawing. It's more the whole flavor of the music and stuff like that. In fact, as I really practice, sometimes I have to look up lyrics, because I often cannot make out the words of stuff outside of certain artists.
Yeah, the misheard lyrics, I think there's a whole thing on that. The excuse me while I kiss this guy and those kind of things.
I thought it was My Eyes of Georgia.
There you go. Also, we talked a little bit off air about current music that you've discovered or maybe kind of listening to.
Well, yeah, as I just said, I I'm not a big country guy, but I just listened, downloaded some Kacey Musgraves. I think she's a rare talent because she writes like a young person. This is kind of like Taylor Swift was, but I almost feel she's a better singer and musician. She plays the guitar. I think she may actually be more of a package. So I thought she was really impressive. I love Brandi Carlile. I've seen her in concert. And she has a great new album out. There's a whole bunch of people I do kind of like. The Killers, I just saw some, I listened to some of their stuff, and that's great. That's actually kind of moody.
Yeah, it can be. Yeah. And I think Kacey has actually opened up for Taylor on the arena tour.
That's actually a good pairing. But you can kind of see, I like the idea of both of them because they really sound like not some other songwriter wrote their songs. They feel like they're real specific experiences. That's kind of my favorite kind of thing. Bruce Springsteen, who's my favorite of all, he's filled with that, where there's like the screen porch swinging and that kind of thing. And he tells you the exact highway, all the people there, and they all have real stories. I love that kind of stuff. It really feels like that verisimilitude, the truth, that really informs me. I really enjoy that a lot more than just saying I love these songs or whatever. Although I do love old 70s soul songs.
Now, let's get into that a little bit. Anything in particular, any artist?
I always loved Earth, Wind, and Fire, but I love people like Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes. There were a lot of those when I was growing up. Temptations. There were a lot of them. I remember going to the Spinners concert once at the State Fair.
Wow.
Because they really had a long, big catalog, and they were quite delightful. Now, some of them were their children, but they had some of the original ones still there, and they sing that low thing.
More than Rubber Band Man, right?
that's probably their least consequential one.
Yeah.
But I like them a lot. There was just a whole bunch of groups like that would be on back in the old days when the radio had soul and then rock and then they'd have a pop song, as opposed to just one format all the time.
Yeah, I think we miss those days. That's great. Thanks for your time. We're talking music. We're talking comics. We're at Fan Fusion. Talking with artist Greg Land. Greg, I think it's your first time in the area today. I was wondering if you could briefly talk about your current run on X-Men.
I was getting ready to start issue 4 of a 5-issue run on Astonishing X-Men.
And you've got probably, 10 years or more of history of drawing the X-Men?
Yeah, I've been with Marvel now since 2000. And let's say about 4. Been under contract with them most of that time.
And anybody that knows Greg's art knows that he's probably most well known for drawing female characters, really strong in that. Greg, we're a music and pop culture website and podcast as well. was wondering if you play any music while you're during the creative process, or the music that maybe inspires you most.
Well, I tell you what, I can barely play the radio as far as that goes, but the music that I do like to listen to usually comes on the Sirius XM, and usually have it tuned to Ozzy's Boneyard or Hair Nation, and I'd have to say my favorite band of all time would be Kiss.
Yes, how about that? I guess get your face paint on when you're reading the new Greg Land X-Men. Thank you for your time. John with We Heart Music Radio. We're on site in St. Paul at Minnesota Fan Fusion, talking with Howard Chaykin, sequential art master and raconteur. Howard, we know you're a big jazz fan. Can you talk a little bit about your love for jazz, as well as if you have that playing when you're working?
I do. I've always liked the music, but I went through a serious educational phase in the mid-80s when I did a book called Times Squared, which used the music as a graphic element of the narrative. And I ended up doing a lot more listening and a lot more reading. And ultimately, the two things sort of, geometrically increased my interest and my understanding of the material. And to this day, I'm deeply committed to the material. I mean, I would say that, I have somewhere between 10 and 12,000 CDs. And 95% of them are jazz, from, say, the Lewis stuff, the Hot Fives and the Hot Sevens, up to Miles' early 60s stuff, with a couple of outliers later on. But mostly it's that, it's a lot of the small group sessions in the 20s, the Fletcher Henderson stuff in the 20s, the Basie and Ellington stuff in the 30s and 40s, with a couple of white bands played on, and a lot of Bob. For me, it's all about Lester Young, Charlie Parker, Clifford Brown, and Sonny Rollins, and with a lot of Miles. So the Miles Prestige stuff is a big part of my life as well. And always listening. My wife hates the music with a passion, because generally speaking, if you find a good-looking woman who likes jazz, she's probably a transvestite. And she assumes, she has told me more than once that she feels I play my collection simply to annoy my assistants.
That's terrific. I think it was Woody Allen that said any jazz after 1960 is not worth listening to, or something to that effect. Are you kind of that school?
I wouldn't go quite that dogmatically, but to a great extent, there's a certain element of truth to that. I'm not smart enough or available enough to the Coleman material. The Ornette Coleman stuff leaves me mystified. I like a lot of the Coltrane stuff, but again, I'm not as available to it. For me, it all comes to an end for me. With the Art Blakey stuff, with the MJQ. I should explain that all music I listen to, everything, rock and roll, country western, hot western, jazz, I came to first through The Voice. In rock and roll, it's doo-wop. I love a cappella and doo-wop. Cowboy music, I came to cowboy poetry. Jazz, the first jazz album I ever heard was Lambert, Hendricks, and Ross, Sing a Song of Basie. It blew me away. I love King Pleasure and Eddie Jefferson, from whom King Pleasure stole everything. Blossom Dearie. So much of my stuff is informed by, in comics, one of my mentors was Gil Kane, who was a classic progressive fan, and he was born in 26. And his primary editor at DC Comics, a guy named Julie Schwartz, who was a classic moldy fig. And the two of them argued about everything. I mean, Julie literally believed that a saxophone wasn't a legitimate jazz instrument. Really, honest to God. Except maybe Bud Freeman. And the only thing they agreed on was Lee Wiley. And I became a big Lee Wiley fan as a result of listening to the two of them bitch and moan about each other about this stuff. And to this day, I love Wiley stuff so much. He's a classic example of a small voice that has incredible gift. I mean, for me, as an example, the two versions of We'll Have Manhattan by Rodgers and Hart that make any sense to me are Lee Wiley's and Dinah Washington's. They're both incredible interpretations of the song. I love Anita O'Day. I love June Christie, Chris Connor, Portia Nelson, who was not wasn't really a jazz singer. She's a cabaret and nightclub singer, but she really had it going on. She swung. And so a lot of it, it's both the American popular song and that library. Last week I was listening to these two Tuna Mosaic sets of Teddy Wilson stuff, which is just unbelievable. And also the Savory collection, which is finally being released. You know about the Savory stuff?
I don't.
Oh, God. It's these live air checks of everybody from Coleman Hawkins 6 months after he came back to the States from Europe, doing a 7-minute long recorded, a version of Body and Soul. It's all this Count Basie stuff from Randall's Island, which we've been aware of but never heard. Some great, great Fats Waller stuff. Great Ella Fitzgerald with the Chick Webb Orchestra. Amazing. Just, kill me.
So that's awesome. Times Square is probably your most personal project.
Yeah.
If you had to pick an album or an artist that would be maybe the most appropriate soundtrack to that work, what do you think it might be?
Well, I mean, not about an album, but for me, it's that period of bird stuff, in the late 40s, Anthropology, Ornithology, Salt Peanuts. I mean, maybe Jazz at Massey Hall. That might do it right there. The Charlie Chan album, because that's just like that's a Shoulders of Giants album. Everybody, the right guys are all there. The only guy who's not there is Clifford Brown in my world. But yeah, the Jazz at Massey Hall album would be a perfect go-to for that. Yeah,
that's a great selection. Times Square, the third installment coming out in 2019.
I'll be starting it. It's written, and I'm assuming I'll be drawing probably in October. So yeah, I would think early. Not for Christmas, but for Valentine's Day. Let's say that. Let's just call that a holiday for that. Yeah, I'd say so. It's called Hallowed Ground Zero, and it's about, for those of you who know Times Square, it's about the demolition of Times Square. It's my fictional take on the relationship between Robert Moses and Jane Jacobs, which is a little bit intellectual for comic books, but, that's my world. There you go. Thanks.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Howard.
Salt peanuts. Salt peanuts. The name of the salt. Salt peanuts. We'll be right back. Peanuts.